Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text from the Old Testament lesson, Zechariah 4:9. Who has despised the day of small things? You will be filled with joy. This is the word of the Lord. When the Holy Ghost came to us through a few words, when he baptized us with just a handful of water and a few more words, small things, sort of, your believing soul became Christ's country. You became an outpost of the kingdom of heaven, with the all-powerful monarchy planted in you like a seed and growing in faith and love. But I'll tell you, when I look at the faith in me and the love in me, my whole new nature seems about the size of Estonia, you know, and my old sinful nature seems the size of the USSR, which I know doesn't exist anymore, any more than my old nature is going to exist for much longer. But still, as far as the kingdom of heaven in me is concerned, for now, it is the day of small things, sort of. 520 B.C. in Judah was a day of small things, sort of. God's people had been deported wholesale. You know the story. The country had been burned off like a weedy field. The amazing temple had been leveled when a handful of us returned and started rebuilding just a little temple, just a scale model, really. Actually, we'd just gotten the foundation laid, and it didn't look like we were going to get any further ever. And anyway, it didn't look like it was going to be much if it ever did get done, which sounds like my discipleship. You know what I'm talking about. But then the Holy Ghost said, who despises the day of small things? It's like he's got an ace up his sleeve. It's like he's got an intercontinental ballistic missile up his sleeve. He said, wait till you see this small thing when it's finished. Wait till you see this small thing rise way beyond scale model. Wait till you see when this thing's done growing, when it's a temple you can't measure, when it's the kingdom of heaven in the body of Jesus Christ, when it's a living temple and you in him and him in you, the monarchy from heaven so huge that it'll take a whole new creation to hold you. You will be filled with joy. But in the meantime, it's easy to despise the day of small things, or contrariwise, to be impressed by big things. You want to be careful. Some really big things, like outer space, are actually nothing. Literally. And then some really small things, like the atoms in your thumbnail, turn out to be each little atom full of nuclear power. Literally. I'm not trying to make us more aware of our fingernails. I just more cautious about what we despise and what we're impressed by. Because I tell you the truth, I will certainly sell cheap whatever I despise. Like Judas Iscariot, I will certainly sell out to whatever impresses me most. Judas should have listened to the parable in the gospel lesson. Judas looked at a kingdom that was about the size of a seed, one rabbi and 12 slow students, and he was a lot more impressed by the Sanhedrin. That was like the Congress of his country, because the Sanhedrin was a going concern. Going, going, gone, right. Actually, Judas was most impressed by economics. He was so impressed that he sold his share in the divine monarchy for cash in hand, poor, lost, little jerk. He was impressed by the wrong things. He should have realized that a lot of things that start out big turn out small, like pension plans, or crushes, or politicians' promises, or my promises, for that matter. But one thing starts out tiny and gets huge. Jesus said, you heard it, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which somebody took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of seeds. But when it's grown, it's the largest bush and becomes a tree so that wild birds can come and nest in its branches. The somebody there is God the Father. His field is the world, since he owns it. The seed is the kingdom of heaven, and since it's planted in this world, it doesn't mean heaven above. First, it means the heavenly monarchy in person, which explains why you'd plant one seed in a whole field. Because you would, when that one seed is the infinite Son of God sent here from heaven and planted on earth in order to grow the kingdom of heaven here, which means also his monarchy, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And it is very easy in 2011 to see how accurate his parable was, because Holy Church did start out small as a grain of mustard seed, but now, as a matter of plain fact, with all its wonking warts and weaknesses, it's huge, man. The mustard plant that Christ had in mind really, really is a great illustration. Well, of course it would be. I mean, because he did it, you know. But anyway, because the seed of that Asian plant really is a very small thing, smaller than a poppy seed. But it grows, you know. And it grows. And when it's grown, the thing's from 6 to 9 feet high, deep and wide, like a tree with branches that birds actually do nest in. It's a stunner. It's almost as stunning as the kingdom of heaven when Holy Church was still just a sprout. Satan threw heresy at us like herbicide. He still does that, and we wilt, and then we surge up again. And the world, mountainous powers that have long since turned into nothing, like the Roman Empire and the Soviet Union and I don't know, whatever's next. The world tries to chop the whole thing down with persecution. Just prunes us, is all. Or else they offer us big money or shiny sins or popularity like a truckload of road salt to choke us out. Or else they just ignore us and hope we'll go away. Yeah, well. Ta-da! You could almost want to go back in time to that timid little handful of disciples and tell them, look, listen to that parable, because he's right. I know it's hard to believe now because you're so small, but 2,000 years from now, there's going to be millions and millions and millions of us all over the globe. Yeah, because it's a globe. And on continents you never even heard of. Holy Church is way past a bush. It's become a tree, just as Jesus said, and its branches reach out everywhere so that wild birds can come and nest in its branches. I did. So did you. And then you and I become branches and grow so that, even through us, other beloved wild birds can kneel and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I know very well that the world is full of big smoke and mirrors. And Satan is glad to hear that everything's going to hell. He wishes. But really, after all the empires that we've outlived, after all the competition that we've left in the dust, if the sheer spread of Christ's kingdom doesn't impress us more than anything the world's up to, we have had our heads in a bucket. As far as the whole kingdom of heaven is concerned, the day of small things is not today. But individual Christians are sort of small. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I know. The Holy Ghost says, who despises that? Do you? What God's doing in you, forgiving and renewing and forgiving and renewing, does that impress you less than what the world's doing around you? Or what the world's doing to you? Should we sell off our shares in the kingdom? We've been born again. Should we sell out to the old nature that we still lug around? Or shouldn't we be amazed instead that any faith and any love are growing in this soil? Jesus promised, I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit. And I know when it comes to that crop, it really looks like a day of small things. But we really must not be more impressed by our weakness. We must not be more impressed by our sin than we are by the kingdom of heaven in these souls. I'm not saying we should be impressed by ourselves, but we ought to be impressed by miracles such as, oh, say, the Word of God. I'm not saying we should be impressed by what we produce, God forbid, but we ought to be awestruck by what's producing it. We cannot imagine the size of the generator we're hooked up to. That's why St. Paul says there ought to be fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in you, both to want and to do His good will. It's the same power that's kept the whole kingdom alive and growing, no matter what, all over the planet. It is the life of Jesus Christ Himself, because the church is His body in which He lives. Which means that when the apostles were down one, those 11 sinners were filled with the risen God over all. So are you. Jesus said, I in you, and you in me. So you're in who? Who's in you? The infinite and absolute monarchy, made human, found in fashion as the smallest of seeds, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. One of these Christmases, I'm going to make a Christmas card, and on the front a picture of a tiny newborn in a manger with plenty of room to spare, and it's going to say, who despises the day of small things? Give me a drum roll. He grew up like a tender shoot out of dry ground, and though he was in very nature God, he was such a small thing, maybe 6 feet, 72 inches of bone and tissue, who then made himself nothing, battered, beaten, and afflicted, so that all the things that seemed so big, this whole world and the whole mountain of our own so impressive sins, could be judged and brought to nothing in just one body on the cross. So that the whole world and we could be judged and buried in that small thing that hung there, dying and dead. So that we could be judged and buried and made alive together with Him through faith, which is no small thing, since all the faith in me is from the grace of Jesus Christ full grown. And all the love in you is there because the divine monarchy in person has descended and entered your body and soul. How many times? How many times have we eaten and drunk the kingdom of heaven? Is that a small thing? And we have sold it cheap, God help us, every time we despised it by going from it to sin some more. Whatever has impressed us more than the kingdom of heaven among us, God help us. Whatever we've ever sold out to, God help us. And He does. He said, who has despised the day of small things? They will yet be filled with joy. He says, fear not, O worm Jacob. Fear not, O little thing, O soft, small thing. For you are not small to me. I guess that's why I keep talking about things that are small, sort of, like me, or the Bible, or the host at communion, which is plenty small. But what's inside is huge. It's like our small obedience. God knows what He'll do through your good works. How huge shall the ripples be from your holy splashing? I will help you, says the Lord. He also says, I've erased your sins like a cloud. And when you are grown, He says, wait till you see you when you're finished. Jesus said about Himself, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, but if it's buried, but if it's planted, it comes up. Christ is risen. when it is grown, Christ reaches from your pew to the right hand of God. He is ascended above all heavens to fill the universe and your beating heart. When it is grown, he is the tree to whom we wild birds come and nest in his branches to become a living temple in the Lord until, he says, until we all grow up to his fullness, not in inches, but in glory and freedom and love, to the full stature of Christ, which I know is hard to believe right now because we're so little. But the great big world is passing away, and your great big sin will turn into nothing, and your great big weakness will disappear. Despise them all. But you, in Jesus, you are like a grain of mustard seed which somebody took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of seeds. But, he says, when it's grown, you shall be like me, for you shall see me as I am. And the Holy Spirit says, who despises the day of small things? And then he smiles. Amen.